Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to worship. My name is Alison. I'm one of the stewards here, and it's my privilege to welcome you, whether you're here in the room or indeed joining us on Zoom. And a particular welcome to anyone who might be here for the first time, or maybe you're on holiday visiting. We're very pleased to see you. We do have tea and coffee and light refreshments after the service, so please do feel free to join us. It would be a lovely way to get to know you better. The hall is through the doors on my left, on your right, so do please stay and join. Today we are aware that several members of the church have lost close family relatives. For this reason, the anthem this morning will be dedicated to them. You too may have been affected by loss this week or may be struggling, so please use this time of an anthem as your prayer or period of reflection. Thank you. In a moment, I'm going to hand over to Liz, a local preacher in our circuit, to lead our worship. Thank you, Liz, for joining us this morning. But before that, Mary's got a short announcement to make.
On the 7th of October, which is a Saturday, the Iona Associates Group of Oxfordshire have planned a day at St Michael's in Summertown with discussions led by Mary Gregory, Bishop of Reading. Anyone is welcome to join us for the day. If you want more information, I'd be happy to give it to you afterwards. There are two sessions, one on restorative justice and another on the role of the imagination in reconciliation. Thank you.
Did you mean October?
Oh, sorry.
7th of February.
February.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry.
Good morning. It's lovely to be leading you here in worship this morning. Let's be still for a moment as we come before God. Holy God, we come as we are to worship you. We come with our strengths and our weaknesses, with our hopes and our heartaches. We come in urgency and in hesitancy. We come as we are, knowing you welcome us with outstretched arms. Our opening hymn this morning is number 25, The Singing of Faith. The words are on the screen. God is here as we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer.
Oh, seated. Our opening prayers, our praise, will be on the screen. I'd like to invite you to join in with the words in bold type. They're coming. Thank you. Let us pray. God of life, whose love enfolds us and spirit fills us.
Praise your holy name.
God of joy, whose sunrise wakes us and sunset amazes us.
We praise your holy name.
God of hope, whose promise sustains us and power upholds us.
We praise your holy name.
God of love, whose patience humbles us and touch can heal us.
We praise your holy name.
God of peace, who breaks down barriers and walls that divide us.
We praise your holy name.
God of eternity, who has always loved us and by grace has saved us.
We praise your holy name.
Amen. I wonder if I was to ask you, how many pairs of shoes have you got? How many pairs of shoes do you have? Well, I guess we all have at least one pair, wearing them on our feet. Just have a little rummage in your mind through your wardrobe, through your cupboards. Maybe share with your neighbour how many pairs of footwear we'll call them, because you can include slippers and things like that. Just 30 seconds or so if you can rummage through. Well, lots of conversation there. Some of you might be quite a quick job. So for some of you, we might be here till the end of the service. So we'll stop there. Anybody want to admit to, I don't know, five or more pairs? Yeah, okay, it's quite a lot, isn't it? 10 or more? Oh gosh, still quite a few. 15? Yeah, quite a few. Looks like one or two. Now, has anyone got more than 20? I think we've got, somebody maybe nearly 20. I was around 20, but that did include old shoes, I have to say. One at the back there. An awful lot. Thank you. Well, shoes are important, aren't they? We use shoes for all kinds of places that we go to. And I brought some shoes with me today. They are in boxes, because I didn't think anyone would really want to be rummaging around my shoes or the other shoes in here. But I wonder if anyone would like to come and maybe take the lid off and have a look, and then I can be the one who holds the shoe up. So we've got a few boxes here. Which one would you like to take that one? Okay. All right, what kind of shoe do you think that one is there? A sandal. A special kind of sandal. Do you know what kind of sandal that one is?
Flip-flops.
Where might we wear our
flip-flops?
On the beach.
And this is a dirty shoe.
It is a dirty shoe. You're right. Why is it so dirty?
Because you used to wear it.
I do. I still wear this shoe. It's one of my trainers when I go running, so I don't think anyone else would want to really handle that one. And what about this one? Do you think these are my shoes?
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
I've got very big feet.
Yeah,
these ones actually are a bit cleaner because they're new shoes. They're one of my son's shoes that he bought, and then he decided they weren't quite right, so then he just discarded them, as he does. When might you wear a pair of smart shoes like that?
Going to work, important meetings.
Yeah, important meetings, work. Might not be so impressed if you turned up in your flip-flop. Well, it depends where you work, really, I guess. But so we have lots of shoes to take us to different kinds of places, don't we? Now, if shoes could talk, that'd be quite funny, wouldn't it? They'd have all kinds of stories to tell you about all the kinds of places. Stinky socks, I know. Those people whose socks aren't the best. But all the kinds of places that they've been to. So my running shoes have been to all kinds of places all over the country. Because shoes are made for walking. And in a way, and running, in a way, walking is a kind of following Jesus type of thing. Because as Christians, we're called to follow Jesus, to walk with Jesus in his footsteps. And when Jesus first called his disciples, he didn't say, sit down, have a think about it, write me a message, write me a report. He said to his disciples, come with me, follow me. And that meant going with Jesus wherever he went, seeing what he did, learning with him. So today we are called to follow Jesus wherever we are. There's a few pictures on the screen there. We might be at school, we might be running, we might be at church, we might be in all kinds of places. And the thing is, following Jesus, being kind to others, living how he wants us to live, isn't always that easy. Sometimes it can be tricky. Sometimes Jesus takes us to places that are uncomfortable, or we have to forgive people when we don't really want to. Pardon? It is, it says it's a green one. Maybe something to think about there, why it says it's a green box. And we might have to go to places where people are usually ignored. But every journey starts with one step, starts with our shoes, starts with us following Jesus, wherever we are. So we're going to sing again now, and it's a song which I think's new here, but it's quite an easy song. We've got a lovely group of musicians to help us with it, and it's about worshipping Jesus, following Jesus, wherever we are. Thank you. their worship in another part of the building, we say together,
the Lord be with you, and also with you.
Choir are going to sing the anthem now, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Our Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. As people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian.
The Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people.
We come now to our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Forgiving God, we are sorry when we say one thing and do another. We are sorry when we say yes and then say no. We are sorry when you call us and we choose not to follow. Lord, you have called us to follow you. We are sorry when we choose to ignore you, when we choose to do what we want. We are sorry and respond to your call. As you called the fishermen to leave their nets and follow you, help us to follow you too, to go in a new direction with you. Transform us and make us whole, and help us to enjoy the journey with you. And now an assurance of forgiveness. Loving and merciful God, who has called us to repentance, we are truly forgiven by you. We can respond to your call to follow you, knowing we are healed and restored. Amen. We sing together now hymn number 495, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, Forgive Our Foolish Ways."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. I'd like to invite you to think for a moment about what you will be doing this time tomorrow. What might around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Monday morning, bring for you? Well, I would imagine that some of you will have already commuted to work, whether that's here in Oxford or to another city, or you may be working from home. Some of you may be studying. Some of you may have a medical appointment, be visiting a friend, at a preschool group, or a coffee morning, tidying up the house after the weekend, going for a walk. There's a huge number of things that people here might be doing this time tomorrow. And for most of us, there's a good chance that it will be fairly routine and quite ordinary. I say most because I have no idea what you might be doing tomorrow. Some of you may be jetting off to some far-flung place. When Jesus called those first disciples, they were doing something very ordinary. Ordinary to them, they were fishing. You could say in today's language that they were small businessmen, working as families, not for huge profits, but to make enough to live on and have a little over. And at that time, fishing was perhaps a good business to be in. People would always want fish. But it was hard work, not really that glamorous, perhaps a bit smelly, and sometimes could be dangerous. So why did a group of fishermen give up everything to follow Jesus? And had they had any experience or knowledge of Jesus before this encounter with him that we heard about in Matthew's Gospel? Well, rather annoyingly, Matthew doesn't tell us any of this. But from those verses that come just before the call of the disciples, we know that Jesus has already begun his public ministry, not in Jerusalem, but in Galilee, to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. He has already begun to preach about the kingdom of heaven. The gospel writers speak of the kingdom of God that is approaching. And in verse 17, we heard those words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus is declaring that this new reign of God is beginning to break in now, and he is calling people to repent. We often associate that word repent with confessing sins and forgiveness of sins. But perhaps in this context, Matthew is speaking about repentance in terms of a change in direction, of gaining a new set of values to live by, to seek justice and peace rather than warfare and destruction, and to live in the knowledge and light of God's love. So it's very likely that the disciples were aware of Jesus, may have already met him, there's an account in John's Gospel. So perhaps when Jesus calls them, it's more like a formal invitation to full-time discipleship rather than a sudden impulse decision. When Jesus calls these disciples to become his followers, they're not looking for a new life. They are fishermen. That's what they do. They're already doing something useful. Yet they are drawn to respond to the call that Jesus places on their lives. They respond to those simple words that he speaks to them, "Follow me." There's no long explanation from Jesus. No 5-year plan. This is where we'll be in 5 years' time, as we often have to do in our workplaces. No assurance of safety or success, what success might even look like. Yet the disciples drop everything and follow Jesus without so much of a question as, where are you going? Throughout his gospel, Matthew emphasizes how Jesus speaks with authority. And so when he says, follow me, it's not a suggestion, it's more of a summons. And in Jewish culture, a rabbi calling disciples was a huge honor. The fishermen do not yet know where Jesus will take them. They have no idea of the roads they must travel. They probably wouldn't have understood what the phrase fishers of people, or fishers of men even meant. And perhaps if they had, would they have left their nets in the first place and taken that risk? And what perhaps is most striking is not just that they follow, but that they leave their nets immediately. I often wonder if they had a chance to say goodbye to their families, or did their work really allow them just to pop back in now and then? But perhaps one of the important things to note about this instant, immediate response that they give is that God was already at work in the lives of the disciples, even before Jesus called them. So that when Jesus spoke the words, follow me, they responded quickly and acted in faith. And in following the call to fish for people, their skills, their discipline, their patience, and their teamwork isn't discarded. It's transformed for a greater purpose. Faith is at the heart of discipleship, and Matthew is teaching us about faith in Jesus, a faith that requires of us a response and a reorientation of our lives. I think if a cross-section of people today were asked about how they came to faith, there would no doubt be a variety of responses. Some might be stories of dramatic suddenness, but many other stories, I suspect, would be of a slower call to faith, starting perhaps like a faint murmur and growing until we can no longer ignore it. There's a story of an American priest who felt called into the ministry when he was working as a lawyer. And so off he went to seminary, did his training, and shortly after arriving to be an associate priest in his first parish, he was invited to join a community prayer group. It was a small group of men, and he was the newest person in the group. And they were all very interested in how he got from being a lawyer to becoming a priest. "Tell us the story of your conversion," they said. "Tell us how you found Christ and became a priest." "Well," he began, and then there was silence. He thought hard about the question. So he started again. "Well," more silence. And then he said, "You know, it's just sort of always been there. A sense of connection, relationship, longing. I can't remember a time when it wasn't." One of them asked him, "There wasn't a particular day or event?" The priest shook his head, and so did the person asking the question. And the priest says, "They were clearly disappointed and maybe even a bit doubtful about me." Now, of course, some people do experience dramatic conversions, and these experiences are valid and important. But it's not the only way. Many people have a continuous and steady experience of Jesus. Others would tell of a struggle and a wrestling, give and take, back and forth. Think about Jacob or Jonah. In truth, our lives are probably a mixture of all of these and more. How does any relationship begin, continue, and grow? There's no one way or even a right way. There are probably as many ways of being called, of finding Jesus, being found by Jesus, whatever you want to call it, as there are people. It is unique and personal to each one of us. And perhaps when we think of the call of the disciples, with all the questions we may have about the details of how it happened, where they were going, the most important point is that it did happen. And it continues to happen. It's never a once and for all, finally and forever kind of thing. Our entire life is a conversion. We are always being converted, shaped and formed into the likeness of Christ. Over and over again, Jesus comes to us saying, follow me and be my disciple. Well, of course, Methodism is at its heart a discipleship movement and a disciple-making movement. John and Charles Wesley spoke of a yearning from within, a desire to be better disciples of Jesus, a desire to be continually reshaped and refashioned in the likeness of Christ, and to balance a life of prayer and study of the scriptures with practical service to others. And this comes through in many of Charles Wesley's hymns, not least these words from O Thou Who Camest From Above. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. This balance of being and of doing is important to all of us in our own discipleship. And discipleship continues to be a big part of Methodism, as we are called to be a growing, inclusive, evangelistic and justice-seeking church, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And with all that's going on in the world, when we switch on our televisions and we see the news, it's important to stand up for justice, to be inclusive, and to live and act as Jesus would want us to. And so wherever we find ourselves this time tomorrow, may we each live out our call to follow Jesus in our words, our attitudes, and our actions. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to live each day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen. We're going to sing again a hymn, Take This Moment, Sign and Space, a hymn perhaps for us to reflect on our own callings.
Thank you.
Loving God, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you for gifts of money. We thank you for gifts of time and talents. Help us to follow you each day. Amen. Please be seated.
Come now to our prayers of intercession, our prayers for others, and we'll use the response, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Loving God, we pray for the places of your world that are experiencing great darkness now. Places where there is war, unrest, confusion, repression. Shine your light particularly upon Ukraine, the Middle East, Venezuela, Greenland, Haiti. And we pray this morning especially for the people of Minneapolis as they try to make sense and find a way forward in all the confusion there. We ask, Lord, that you would light the way for a safer, fairer, peaceful world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift those areas of our local community that are struggling in darkness now. We pray for situations where there is unemployment, trauma, abusive relationships, hopelessness, hunger. Show us how we can bring light into one of these places this week. As individuals, families, or as a church congregation. Go before us to illumine our way so that we follow your lead rather than our own initiative. Give us eyes to see where you are working and the courage to follow. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we thank you for calling each of us to be your disciples. Whatever we are feeling, help us to remember that each of us is known by you, precious and deeply loved. And each of us has a calling to follow your lead. Open our eyes to see how we can serve you in the places you have put us. Our schools, our workplaces, our homes, our families. Thank you that you know our strengths and our weaknesses and still have a role for each of us to bring your kingdom closer. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we pray for all those who are in particular need of your comfort at this time. We remember all those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. All who are unwell or lonely. All who are living in fear. And in a moment of quiet, we bring to you those who are known to us personally. Be with them, we pray. Surround them with your love, your presence, your peace, and your care. Amen. And together we say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is another from the Iona community, and it's a hymn of calling and a response to being called. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Send us out as renewed people, empowered by your Spirit to be your disciples to the places in which you have called us, equipped and strengthened for your service, now and always. Amen.